Joshua, Judges, in your Old Testament, chapter 16. I think I've preached some of this before once upon a time, but here in Judges chapter 16, we have one of the stories from the life of Samson. Samson is a very interesting character in the Bible. He was born to his mother. I didn't find her name here. But she was barren. She didn't have any children. She wasn't able to have children. An angel of the Lord came unto her and appeared to her and told her that she was going to have a child. And that from the womb he was going to be set aside as a Nazarite. Now, a Nazarite was a vow that the men took. His was for a lifetime. Sometimes it's for a set period of time. But the rules under a Nazarite, it's a time they set themselves aside that they were not supposed to have anything to do with anything that come from the grapevine. Grape juice or wine or any of those things. As a Nazarite, they were not supposed to have anything to do with any of that. And they were not supposed to cut their hair. The men were not supposed to cut their hair. This set them aside as something different from everybody else. And they were not supposed to come in contact with a dead body. Now, Jesus, just a side note here. Jesus was known as from Nazareth, as a Nazarene from the town of Nazareth where he was raised. But he wasn't a Nazarite. He didn't have the vow of a Nazarite upon his life. So he didn't have long hair because a Nazarite had long hair and that set him aside from everybody else. It's just a little side note there. There's some other verses that show that. Samson was set aside by the angel of the Lord to be a Nazarite vow from his womb. He had problems with women in his life. He went after the women. His eyes got him in trouble. And it wasn't just Delilah, the one here in Judges chapter 16. There were other women in his life. And they always got him in trouble. But he never learned. That's one area in his life he never learned until the end. He would look at some woman, sign she was beautiful, and he wanted her. And he would go take her. And one of them, I think, he probably got married to. Another one talks about he went out into a harlot. And Delilah played the part of a harlot also. What we're going to look at here is what sin does in our lives. He was a Christian. He was a believer. He had problems with sin in his life. And we're going to see what sin did in his life. It bound him. It blinded him. And it made a slave as he ground in the meal. They used him as an animal to push the grinding wheel around as they ground their grain. So here in Judges chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 20. We'll fill in the rest of it here in a little bit. They cut off his hair. We'll get to that here in a little bit. But in verse 20 of Judges chapter 16, he said, "The Philistines be up," and she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Verse 22, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, the fish god, and to rejoice, for they said, 'Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand.' And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, 'Our God hath delivered unto our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us.' And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, 'Call for Samson, that he may make us sport.' And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars." They brought him out to make fun of him and ridicule him and poke at him and stuff like that. Verse 26, "And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, 'Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them.' Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women which beheld while Samson made sport." Verse 28, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.'" Verse 29, "And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, upon which it was borne up, of the one with his right and the other with his left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that therein, so that the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And his brethren came, and they took him, and they buried him." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask that you'll open up the Holy Scriptures. God, that you will let me just present what you've laid upon my heart to your people here today, that we may learn the dangers of sin, that we may be strong for you and serve you with our might. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to go back into Judges chapter 16, and I want you to kind of get a little bit about what's going on here. Now, Samson comes in with Delilah here in the beginning of chapter 16. And well, he has a harlot there, and then in verse 4, he goes down to another place and finds Delilah. The Lord of the Philistines find out that Samson is going in with Delilah. And so they say, "Well, now, Delilah, we need you to help us here. We want you to find out where his strength is." And they say, there was 11 of us, and in verse, end of verse 5, "that we may bind him to afflict him, we will give thee one of us, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver." See, each one of these lords, now there wasn't 11 of them, but each one of these lords came up and says, "Each one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." Well, she starts talking to him and says, I pray thee, tell me where your strength comes from. And he says, if you bind me with 7 green withes, which is a vine that they use for making ropes. But he says, 7 green ones, bind me with those, and I'll be weak as other men. So she does that. He goes to sleep in her lap or something. So she binds him all up and everything else with these 7 green withes. And the Philistines are here. The Philistines are here. He gets up and jumps off and breaks them off and just goes out and kills some more Philistines. Well, it goes on again. It says, well, you need to use new ropes. You need to use some new ropes that never have been used on anybody. And she says, okay. So she gets some new ropes and binds him up. Verse 12, Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said to him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And they were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from his arms like a thread. Liars, in other words, ambushers, liars. They were in the chambers with her. Then he says, well, you need to fasten my hair, my 7 locks, with a pin to the loom, to a post. And then I will be weak like others. Now notice he's getting closer. The Philistines are on you. The Philistines are on you. He gets up, breaks loose, goes out again. You would think, by this time, that he would have figured something out, huh? You would think, by now, he would know that she's out to get him. But he likes sports and games and playing and jokes and all those things. Well, as you women know, and as you men know, women have great power over you. Well, in verse 15, and she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and have not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed on him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Listen, she bugged him so much and pleaded with him so much and flashed her eyelashes at him and shook around and danced for him or whatever. I don't know what she did, but she got him so twisted around her little finger that he was going to do anything for her because he was just, you know. I mean, he was gone, you know. She had him. You don't love me anymore. You won't tell me what the truth is. And she put on the tears and turned on the waterworks and all that stuff and everything. And all he did, and she vexed him unto death. He was so worried and anguished and bothered about it, it was unto death for him. In verse 17, then he told her his heart and said to her, thou hast not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like other men. And Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, and she sent and called the lords of the Pharisees. Come up this once. He has showed me all his heart. They know when you're lying to them, guys. Then the lords of the Philistines came unto her and brought money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to be shaven of the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And that's when they attack him. Now listen. Just so you don't get off on some weird superstition here. The hair was not magic. It wasn't magic hair or anything like that. If you let your hair grow and get a ponytail or whatever, you're not going to get all strong. It doesn't work that way, okay? That's not what it's about. The hair represented his oneness with God, him being set aside to God, him following God. That was his outward sign of an inward possession as he presented himself to God and was set aside. That was what that symbol was there. That I am set aside for God. Now, she said she made him sleep upon her knee. How comfortable we get in sin sometimes. He went to sleep on the lap of Satan's helper. He was so confident in his strength and the things that had been happening to him in his life. He had gotten so used to God being there for him all the time, he began to take God for granted. It says, the Philistines be upon you. And he didn't even know that all of that hair was gone. You know, I'm due for one now, and I know I need one. And I know it, and I can tell it, and I can feel the difference when I come out of the barber shop. He didn't know it. He didn't notice it. He says, I'll go out and shake myself as in the past. He says, I just got to go out and shake myself, and it's all done. He didn't even know it. He didn't even realize what had happened to him. It didn't snap. He was so comfortable as he laid there on her lap and she stroked his hair and got him all comfortable. He's all happy as he's laying there with this new love he's got because his flesh has been satisfied and he's so content. He just lays down there and he just nods off to sleep. As she was his enemy. He went to sleep in the lap of the enemy. Come in, they shave his head. Sin makes you blind spiritually. Sin blinds your eyes to what's around you. Sin blinds your eyes to what you're allowing in your life. Then they come in and they poke his eyes out. I mean, they didn't put him to sleep and have the surgeon come in and do... No. They probably got some sharp sticks or something and just poked them out. I don't know if they popped them out or poked them out. Whatever. They bound him up. He was totally, totally helpless. He could do nothing anymore. And they poked both his eyes out. They put him in the prison house. They chain him up to a big old stone wheel that they used to push around. They used to have an animal or a donkey or an ox or a couple of animals push this thing around. They says, we're going to use his strength for our good. A normal man could not push that stone around. You see, he still had the strength. But God wasn't blessing him.
the blessings of God left because he was playing with sin. He was playing with sin. He had the muscles to conquer them. He had the muscles. He pushed that stone around. He ground their meal for them. He could do it. He still had the strength. He still had everything. He just lost his hair. He lost his closeness with God. And God wasn't going to help him anymore. God made him weak because he was playing with sin. Playing with sin. Sin blinds you to what's around you. Hey, he didn't have any trouble looking at women after that. God took that away from him. Got to be careful what you're dabbling in sin. I mean, as a Christian, you've got to be careful at what you're dabbling in sin and what you're playing with sin and what you're doing with sin and where you're going and what you're doing, because God just may come in and just whack that off. He may just eliminate that out of your life. Whatever he might do, he might whack it, he might cut. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what the sin is. But listen, you cannot play with sin and it not bite you, it not catch you, it not happen to you, it not do something to you. You cannot do that. It is impossible, Christian. And look at how many warnings God gave Samson. Every time he got involved with a woman, it turned out bad. Because he wasn't doing it God's way. It wasn't someone that God wanted him to have, and he wasn't doing it God's way. He was basically shacking up. And because of that, he got by here, he got by here, he got by here. And God kept giving him warnings, 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 and warnings, and warnings, and he didn't get it. I'm Samson. I'm super Christian. I don't have those problems. I can do it. I belong to God. He's going to help me. He's going to bring me through this. I'm all right. I can handle it. That'll happen to somebody else. But that's not me. I'm special. I'm different. That's what's going to happen. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Don't be a fool. And God doesn't come up and blindside you. He gives you all. You just got to, you get like this, you know. She had him. He couldn't see past his own nose. Because she appealed to his flesh and satisfied his flesh and gave him what his flesh wanted and made him all comfortable. It's comfortable to sleep in someone's lap. That's not always a bad thing. Grandkids like sleeping on grandma, or like sleeping with me. It's not a bad thing. It's comfortable. It's the best place, huh? All snuggle up there. And the Delilah, but he went to sleep in the lap of sin. It wasn't uncomfortable. It wasn't rough. It was smooth. Just like a snug as a bug in the rug, as they say. He was all comfortable. So comfortable he didn't even realize what he was doing in his life. It blinded him. And it bound him to work in the mill the rest of his life. It says his hair began to grow. Oh, in the other accounts, it mentions he prayed twice. Verse 22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. The grace of God is always there. The mercy of God is always there.
God is always waiting. I mean, Samson was at the bottom of the chain. Samson was at the bottom of the pit. Samson was locked up in the dungeons of the prison. Samson was being used as an animal, as a means of labor. Samson was pretty low. But his hair began to grow. Howbeit, even because of all of this, God was still working in his life. All you got to do is sit there and hang on to that old mill and just go around and 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 around. Nothing to look at. Nothing to do except go around and around and around and around and around. You got time to think. You got time to pray. I bet he beat himself up inside more than once. What a fool I was. How selfish I was. How stupid I was. Look at what I did. Look at what happened. Look what I've done to my God. Look at how I've let him down. Look at how I've disappointed him. Look at the terrible things that I've done in my life. Look at what happened. Look at where I am. Oh, I am ashamed of myself. That's repentance. That's repentance. And that's why God used it, because otherwise none of this stuff would have happened. He repented. And he all goes to God. He says, just one more time, God. Just one more time, please. God, help me just one more time. One more time. That's all I'm asking. Just one more time. Let me be used of you. Let me be your servant one more time. Let me feel the power of you in my life just one more time. Just one more time, God, please. Oh, how he loved being used of God. Oh, how he loved serving God. Oh, how he loved being a mighty soldier for the army of God. Oh, how that cherished his heart. Oh, how that brought joy to his life. Please, just one more time, God. Please. You see, Samson knew he was never going to get out of that dungeon. Samson knew he was never going to get free from the Philistines. Samson knew that the life he knew and the freedom he had was gone. He knew that the eyes that he had were gone. He looked up and see the beautiful sunrises over the mountains of Israel. As he saw a rainbow in the sky as a dew had settled, and how he saw the beauty of the birds, and how he used to go down and get honey out of the carcass, and how he seen God's creation, how all the joys that he had, the experiences of his palate as he tasted the honey in the land of Israel, as his eyes saw the beauty of the land. Never to see a sunrise or a sunset. Never to see the moon in the sky or the stars as they flashed as diamonds in the air. He never was to see that again. He lost all of that because of sin. He lost his freedom to roam the hills of Israel upon his own. He lost the freedom of seeing his beloved mom and father ever again. He lost all of that. Because of sin. He knew that. He knew that. He knew he was never going to be free again. But God gave him an opportunity. He asked him, let me lean on these pillars. The young boy that was leading him around or whatever like a dog. One with his right and one with his left. Pulled him in or pushed him out. I don't know what he did. And it fell on him. Killed him. But he got a great victory for God that day.
killed many of the pagans that had been persecuting Israel. It says he judged Israel for 20 years. He served God for 20 years of his life. He was a young man when he died. He was a young man. Many of you got more than 20 on you. Many of us have more than 20 on us, huh? That's how long he served God. He's recording God's word. He's a hero of the Bible. Now, in James it says, when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. The sin caught him and bound him. It blinded him and it made him an animal as he ground through life. Is your life just a grind? Is your life drudgery? Do you feel like you're going around in circles, chained to some stone as you grind the grains of this world? Are you in a rut? Are you just walking around in circles and not getting anywhere? Then go to God and repent of how you got there. And say, God, I want to be used of you again. Mercy and grace is still there. You're still here. You're still breathing. You still got your mind. You can still do things. No, there's never a time that he's done. There's never a time that he quits working in your life. Some of our lives are such of a mess because of the testimonies that we've done and the things we said we are Christians and the things that's happened in our life. Our lives are such a mess. People look at, oh, you're a Christian? Yeah, I know when you did this. I remember when you did that. I don't know when you did that. You say, yeah. But that's behind me now. Yes, that was wrong. Don't try and cover it up. Hey, makes you more of a hypocrite than trying to cover it up. So, yes, I was wrong. But I'm not dwelling on those things. I'm moving forward for Jesus. I may not be able to do what I used to do, but I can still do something. See, sin leaves scars. But scars are a sign of healing. All they may disfigure, you're not perfect, but the scars are healed. Don't dwell on the scars. Move on. Move on for Jesus. If you're not saved, if there hasn't been a time that you went to Jesus and asked him to be your Savior, where are you now? Christians may have let you down or done something. I don't know. But I tell you this. Jesus never lets you down. Jesus will never let you down. And Jesus is always there. Don't keep your eyes on me or somebody else. You keep your eyes on Jesus. Because he'll never let you down. Let's stand to our feet while we have a time of invitation and see what God wants to do in your life today. You know, folks, the Christians have to get their hearts right with God for the power of the Spirit to be able to move in the ones that are not saved. Dear Jesus, we ask that you'll take this time, that you'll take these words, that you'll
take the power of your Spirit of God and your Holy Scriptures, that your work will be done in people's hearts as you see fit. We ask for this in the name of Jesus. When Mary begins to play, what does God have for you? What does God want to lay out for you? What does God want to do for you? Was He talking to you about something? Did He burden you about something? I don't know.